WBEN, Buffalo, New York.
Thursday, March the 23. The gorgeous little Teresa Brewer with us today. And Richard Hayes, her grandfather.
Oh.
But I'm attractive. You're beautiful, Richard. And the Godfrey men with Jerry Alters, and later on we're going to have some students here from Lehman College again with Professor Kahn. Every 2 or 3 months he brings a whole batch of students in here to learn how not to do a radio show. Mm. They're watching the demise of this, the end of an era. And so is our friend from Chicago here, Tony Monahan of the Chicago Sun-Times. He is in here to write the obituary. This is world.
Shall I fold my arms now?
And lie still. This is World Meteorological Day, observed annually on this date by members of the United Nations. That's pretty good. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's interesting. Meteorological makes you think of the equinox, the equinoxial storms that are among us these days, this being the vernal equinox just passed 3 days ago. From Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, an old MGM picture, comes a very good song. The barnyard is busy in a regular tizzy, and the obvious reason is because of the season. Ma Nature's lyrical with her yearly miracle. It's spring, spring, spring. All the hen folk are hatching while their men folk are scratching to ensure the survival of each brand new arrival. Each nest is twittering, they're all babysittering. It's spring, spring, spring. It's a beehive of budding son and daughter life. Every family has plans in view. Even down in the brook, the underwater life is forever blowing bubbles too. Every field wears a bonnet with some spring daisies on it. Even birds of a feather show their clothes off together. Sun's getting shinery to spotlight the finery. It's spring, spring, spring. In his hole through the gopher may be a bit of a loafer. The industrious beaver puts it down to spring fever. While there's no antelope who feels that he can't elope because it's spring, spring, spring. Slow but surely the turtle, who's enormously fertile, lays her eggs by the dozens. Maybe some are her cousins. Even the catamount is nonplussed at that amount. It's spring, spring, spring. Even out in Australia, the kangaroos lay off butter fats and all French fries. If their offspring are live, it may be dangerous that they gotta keep them pocket size, you see. Even though to each rabbit spring is more like a habit, notwithstanding the fact is they indulge in the practice. Each day is Mother's Day, the next day some other's day is spring, spring, spring. Play. There's a third verse to this, which was fun. Start. To itself, each amoeba softly croons, ach, du liebe, while the proud little termite feels as large as a worm might. Old Papa Dragonfly is making his wagon fly. It's spring, spring, spring. And every bug snuggles snuggy in its own baby buggy. And in spite of policing, the tribe is increasing because Mrs. Katy did once did what her matey did. It's spring, spring, spring. Long Legs is stretching out his creaky joints. And how busy can a bumble be? flitting hither and thither. She keeps seeking joints with a spare room and a nursery. Each cocoon has a tenant, so they hung out a pennant. Don't disturb, please keep waiting. We are evacuating. This home's my mommy's. I'll soon have my own domicile. It's spring. Spring.
But there really is a... Every songwriter should study that, because that's great lyric.
It is beautiful. Oh, Wilma, what have you brung? This is the Sara Lee pie. We just tested it to be sure it was okay to eat. Oh, they did, did they?
Who did that?
That crew of mine up in the office. They just tested it to see if it was fit to eat.
Do we get a chance now, considering we're royalty?
Yes, you get a chance, but not on this program. We'll just mention it here because they're not scheduled for this one. This is the 23rd. They'll be on tomorrow, but you know what they're doing. Look, see, in a box, Sara Lee apple pie. And you know that anything that's made by Sara Lee has to be first class. Oh, look, there's a pie tin and everything in there. We'll get at this later. Yeah, they've been in it, too. Look at the pie knife. It's all full of fruit. That's the way I'm lucky to even get the pie plate.
That's why I'd like to have my share today.
Take a good look at that.
Oh, that's a pretty one. That's isn't a deep dish apple pie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or deep tin, whatever you call it.
89 cents. You can't make a pie like that for 89 cents, can you?
I can't make a pie like that for $1 million.
That's true.
Smart boy. And it's all baked, you know. It comes frozen. Well, that's for tomorrow, not today. What do we sell today? We sell Hershey's.
Oh, I'll have some of that.
Baking chocolate, cocoa. Hershey's baking chocolate and Hershey's cocoa. Just as good today as they were when the rest of us were all kids. Rich, dark chocolate, real honest-to-goodness cocoa. And the women today are baking with these fine Hershey products and getting the same results, of course, that their mothers did 40, 50 years ago. Cakes, pies, cookies, desserts, candy, frostings. They're just as delicious as when you were growing up. Deep, dark, chocolatey delicious. There is no chocolate flavor to rival that Hershey's, is there, huh?
Mm-mm.
I swear, I'm ruined for any foreign chocolates. Because of the Hershey flavor, that milk chocolate has got me spoiled rotten. And here you are with Hershey's baking chocolate and Hershey's cocoa and a cookbook available. Oh, you must have one of these. Cost you a buck and a half. It's worth it many, many more dollars. Let's see now. How can you get this? It's a 1934 chocolate cookbook updated for use today. 123 recipes, including things like demon cake, cocoa cream pie, chocolate cookies. All great for diets, you know. 96 pages included in color. All you have to do is send a dollar and a half to Hershey Cookbook, Hershey Foods Corporation, Hershey, PA, and the zip is 17033. You can remember that address. Hershey Cookbook, Hershey, PA. That's enough. And you can put the zip if you want to, 17033. The postmen say that helps things. I haven't seen that it does, but they say it does. Don't forget to try Hershey's baking chocolate and Hershey's cocoa, huh? Very good. And we'll save the apple pie for another day. Oh, World Meteorological Day. Did you know, Richard and Teresa, that perhaps one of the reasons that we have thought all along that the whole universe revolves around us is because of a guy who lived 150 years or so after Christ. What the heck was his name?
Copernicus.
Archimedes?
Was it Copernicus?
No, he didn't have this idea. Wait a minute. Ptolemy, that's who it was, P-T-O-L-M-E-Y.
Couldn't spell, could he?
No. But he's the fellow who had the theory that all of the stars, all the heavenly bodies we see, are equidistant from us, so that man was the center of things.
which is one of the reasons we got it into our craws hundreds of years, thousands of years ago, that we were the big shots.
You mean all the stars revolved about him?
That's right. It's what he figured it about us.
So did Louis B. Mayer.
That's what. Did you see that thing with David Frost?
Yes, Liz too.
Oh, Liz and Dick Burton, were they great? Oh, I fell in love with her all over again, and I'll fight for him. He's a great guy. Well, anyway, that's where we got all the ideas that we were the center of things, because navigators using that theory of Ptolemy's have been getting to various places on his face of the Earth ever since, with great accuracy, by measuring the angle of the stars, you see, mm-hmm. to our horizon. And it is close enough so that it is the same as if they were equidistant. Of course, they're not. Sometimes they're millions of light years away. But for all intents and purposes, you're able to triangulate and figure out your position, navigate that way. And so, of course, the man figured it must be right. And that's how we got this terrible arrogance that has allowed us to foul up the biosphere the way we have. So it was kind of interesting that this is World Meteorological Day. Be interesting to read what some of the scientists are going to say this time. I'd love to hear Teresa sing for us again. She, yeah. too, has beautiful eyes.
Thank you.
You didn't see it last night. You reminded me of it just then, Elizabeth. He says, beyond the physical love, of course, which is great and is very important, but if that's all there is, pretty soon it's a bore. You have to like each other. And he said, I like Elizabeth very much. And he turned to her and said, do you like me? And without any fuss at all, she said, yes. So simple, so beautiful. Yes.
It'd be terrible if she said no.
It was a beautiful thing. I've long been an admirer of David Frost, but he brought that interview off with those two people so marvelously. It's something that they should repeat and repeat every once in a while, because they're two great people. And here is another great person, little bit of a girl who has been a star most all of her life. Her name is Teresa Brewer.
To say farewell, because there
That's great. That's just lovely. Thank you, honey. Teresa Brewer. Now, here is another way for you to become famous as a regular fella. For years, I talked you into bran flakes, and they're still good. But here's even a better way. California prunes. Wrinkly little things, not too pretty, but oh, so tasty and so good for you. And they will make you famous among your social set as the really regular guy. California prunes or prune juice. Stop at the local supermarket's prune display and pick up a health stakes entry blank. And remember, I must say this, no purchase necessary and void where prohibited.
Anything you say.
Well, that's the directions I got. Those of you who anticipate problems again this year with the spanworm, the elm trees, and the gypsy moth, please try to get a hold of the March issue of a magazine called On the Sound, in which appears, in the Shore Points of View section, an article by Mrs. Marjorie Silk of Westport, Connecticut. A diligent conservationist, it says, Mrs. Silk is president of the Saugatuck Valley Audubon Society. And in this article, she discusses the prospects of elm spanworm and gypsy moth infestations this spring and passes along the recommendations of Connecticut agricultural authorities for preventing outbreaks. And gives you 1, 2, 3 things that you may do between now and the hatching time in April to help cut down the horrible things that these insects cause to our elm trees. There will be necessarily some martyr trees, of course, and some folks are going to feel terrible about it, but there's only one way to handle this, and that is nature's way, which she explains beautifully in the article. Please get it. Remembering that if man does not interfere and natural controls are used, then there's an equilibrium established in which the parasites and the predators take care of the spanworms and the gypsy moths both, the way they've always done. Remember, will you please, that Mother Nature permits no population growth greater than zero in any species other than man. Thus far, man has gotten away with it. The ecologists are beginning to think that man will not get away with it too much longer. So, please read that and get the dope for yourself. Richard?
Yes.
I'd like you to sing a very philosophical song about now.
Okay, how about dedicating it to the gypsy moth?
What's the name?
What a wonderful bug. The world.
Oh, that's a beautiful song.
There are trees of green, red roses too. Gypsy moths love them like me and like you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. Babies cry, I watch them grow, they'll learn much more than I.
Yes, indeed, it is wonderful, and could be, too, if we'd take care of it. If he'd do his part, and they would do theirs, and I would do mine, it would all come out fine. I don't generally go very far and much with a thing called Newsweek, but in the March 20th issue, there appears a page on science, which is excellent, which I wish you folks would get a hold of. It ought to be in your dentist's office about now. Read about those raindrops. What do you think the raindrops are doing, Dick?
Falling on Bert Bacharach's head.
Yes, that's pretty good. What else are they doing?
I don't know. Dissolving, or rather, going back up into the atmosphere.
That's close. They're getting full of acid, and they're chewing the heck out of things like the Lincoln Memorial.
And they're getting full of acid and chewing the... Are they really?
Yeah. The increasing acidity in rainfall appears linked to rising levels of certain gaseous pollutants in the atmosphere, like sulfur and nitric oxides, that can be converted chemically to strong acids. And this from Dr. Gene Likens, an ecologist at Cornell. So it's pretty tough to get pure rain anymore.
You used to rinse your hair with rainwater.
Yeah.
Now you'll be bald if you do, right?
Go back to beer again.
It's a frightening thing when you think of what we're doing to the place. Tell you what might be a fitting number for us here, gentlemen. Let's do just a closer walk with thee.
like, huh?
Yeah. Harold sounds good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sure does. Maybe we ought to split his lip again.
Well, I don't think he'd go through that, although he didn't come out too badly. You know, they're renaming the town he lives in. I passed it the other day. It's called Fort Lieberman, New Jersey now.
All right, we'll close up with that one. See you tomorrow.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
When you know yourself, compose yourself, C-O-M-P-O-Z.
Compose, the medicine for temporary relief when you're not yourself because of simple nervous tension. Compose, it helps you calm yourself.
C-O-M-P-O-Z.
Compose, not for headaches. For headaches, take aspirin. But for tension, occasional simple nervous tension, we suggest Compose. Get it where you get aspirin.
C-O-M-P-O-Z.